Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 12:59 PM. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is November 6th. Well, I thought that the renminbi was unlikely to spend very much time below 7 at any time in the future, but it did close below or stronger than 7 in here today. Now, there is still something of an overextension relative to the trend mean still evident, but the reality is that China's in a tough place. They want a weaker currency, but nobody else wants China to have a weaker currency, but they need the weaker currency to stabilize the manufacturing sector, which is contracting, and it's still a major employer. The critical risk for China is that you'll have capital flight. I've been in a number of meetings over the last few weeks where there have been Chinese investors who have been very eager to move money offshore, and we're talking about extraordinarily large sums. And that's something that obviously is a factor when you see that your domestic currency is depreciating and there is a pattern of appropriation going on from the central government. There is a very clear pattern in terms of a successful business person who is not part of the upper echelons of the party suddenly runs into trouble of one sort or another. Then he is stripped of his assets and nothing more is heard of him. And obviously these people are very keen to get their money out of the country. That's unlikely to change with the renminbi strengthening through 7, because it's a governance issue rather than a straight foreign exchange issue. What's rather interesting at the present time is that the dollar index has bounced from the region of the trend mean, but the Asia dollar index is right in the region now of its trend mean and was pulling back in here so far this week. There has been a pattern of underperformance evidence since the peak in early 2018, and I think would be rash to conclude that it's over just yet, but certainly the pace of the decline has moderated this year. And of course the renminbi is a very significant constituent of that index. Then if we think about how are some of those other currencies doing, well, the Korean won has been strengthening up over the course of the last few weeks and it is now stronger than the trend mean. And I think we do need to look at more back history to really get a grip on the fact that the won has been trading in a broad range between about 1,000 and 1,200 for most of the decade, and it is strengthening from that area right now. Well, the strength of the currency is also helping to assist the stock market, and it does look increasingly likely that the Kospi is breaking its downtrend. Then when we think about Thailand and the baht, well, it has been strengthening, in fact, for at least the last 4 years. And despite all of the worries about weakening currencies, it's been one of the strongest in the world relative to the dollar over the course of the last few years. Well, if we look at the SET index, it is starting to steady now again from the 1600 area. Has been an area of important support over the course of the last 12 months, but it was resistance between 2013 and 17. That suggests that we are seeing some consolidation here. And of course, the strength of the currency is a factor in the underperformance of the nominal price in terms of the stock market. Then when we think about Indonesia, well, the stock market there has been one of the few that has been quite weak over the course of the last while, and the Indonesian rupiah has been really very steady this year. It's pretty much looks like a peg where they're defending the 14,000 level. The Jakarta composite has been pulling back from the region of the trend mean. There's been a downward bias to trading over most of this year, but there is also this sequence of higher reaction lows since the lows all the way back in the middle of 2018. So there's a bit of a triangular pattern forming. It would really need to break that sequence and sustain a move below 6,000 to question the scope for additional upside. I also think that the return to performance of some of the fabless manufacturers like Taiwan Semiconductor are one of the key factors in pushing the Taiwan composite up into new all-time highs. And this is, I think, a profoundly long range, going all the way back to the early 1980s. So it's not quite accurate to say that it's new all-time highs, but certainly pushing on to new highs not seen in at least the last almost 29 full years. And this is, I think, a rather profound change to the environment. The fact that the market, having encountered resistance at 10,000 on repeated occasions for nearly 30 years, finally started to find support to that area, that's supportive of the view that we are back in a demand-dominated environment, and the Nikkei is in a very similar condition. Having encountered resistance around the 20,000 level, it has been demonstrating support around that area for almost 2 full years now, and the index continues to extend the rally back up towards the upper side of this range. If we focus on these long-term ranges, well, the big range we've seen evolve in Europe over the course of the last 20 years, looks increasingly likely that we are going to see it eventually broken out of, and we may see that quite soon. All the way back in before, I guess, this lengthy period of ranging for the last 4 years, it looked like it was going to break out in 2015. Wasn't quite able to hold that advance. Certainly, it raced to get up to the 400-point level back then. It looks a lot better supported now, and I think there's a clear potential that we're going to see European shares doing better. The banking sector, which is in at the lower side of its evolving base formation, does increasingly look like it has found meaningful support. And it is now back above the trend mean. It's in the process of breaking the almost 2-year sequence of lower rally highs, and that is looking more positive. Well, when we then think about the euro, Europe needs a weaker currency. They are definitely getting a weaker currency. They're engaging in quantitative easing, and there is the scope for that quantitative easing program to be increased. The one benefit of having a politician instead of an economist in charge of the ECB is that politicians have got a clear proclivity to print their way out of trouble, and I think that's what the market is concluding. The euro has now pulled back again from the region of the trend mean, and this remains a pattern of underperformance generally. Now, when we think about the pound, it has rebounded on speculation that the upcoming election will be won by Boris Johnson and the Conservatives. They are suffering at present from a bit of foot-in-mouth disease, and that's obviously also resulting in some pause in the sterling dollar cross rate. When we look at the pound versus the euro, then this looks like a very orderly consolidation. There is, I think, the potential that the pound is going to break higher against the euro in the event that we do get a more substantive answer to the Brexit question. The reality is that the deal that's been, in fact, agreed in the first vote in Parliament is membership in all but name. And it, in fact, goes even further than Theresa May's deal in moving the border from between Northern and Southern Ireland to the Irish Sea. And the unionist community in Northern Ireland are obviously very upset about what has, in fact, been a betrayal. And they are obviously also really very concerned about the potential that it is a path to a united Ireland through the back door. Well, I don't think that they're wrong in that conclusion. It's certainly looking like that is a potential outcome for the future. It could potentially be beneficial for an all-Ireland economy, but getting the unionist side on getting the unionist community to accept that potential is no mean feat. And there is obviously the potential that we could see an uptick in violent protest. That's obviously something that nobody wants to see, but I do think it is looking like an increasingly likely scenario. Now, when we think about what's going on in terms of the US markets, well, I think the most important thing that is starting to fall into place is the Russell 2000 index has broken its sequence of lower rally highs. Now the question is, how well is it going to hold this move? It needs to sustain a move above 1600 points in order to truly confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The banks are falling into place. They are certainly, this has been a really very impressive breakout. There is a short-term overbought condition, so we may get some consolidation. But as long as the breakout is sustained, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The transportation index was another important index that was underperforming, but it has also now broken up to a new recovery high for most of this year. But now the challenge is going to be in how well it holds this move. The fact that it was off the lows in here today is certainly encouraging. I do think that it is likely we are going to see an additional pop on the upside here from the transportation index and from the Russell 2000. That is highly supportive of the perspective that we're going to get an additional pop on the upside. The Philadelphia Semiconductors Index is also supportive of that view. Now, we do have a wide overextension relative to the trend mean right now, and this has been a choppy advance over the course of the last 6 months. So wouldn't be at all surprising if we were to get some consolidation in terms of this very impressive breakout that we've seen. The S&P 500 has been just edging on to new high ground over the course of the last few weeks. There has been an absence of very clear dynamics, but it is continuing to trend up out of this range. And I think this continues to look like a really quite bullish environment. The NASDAQ has been leading on the upside, and it also is extending its advance in here. When we then think about some of the industrial companies that had been incredibly beaten down, then we are seeing increasing evidence of support starting to come through. GE, for example, going from a peak around 30 down to a low around 7 at the beginning of this year. It does look like we're getting at least a rebound followed by a period of right-hand extension. So a type 2 bottom with right-hand extension. There's the scope here that we could see a recovery underway. Then when we look at Kraft Heinz, this is another company that had been pulling back, not least because of the writing off of the value of intangible assets, but it is now trading back above its trend mean following the substantial move that we had last week. Well, this is, I think, starting to highlight the fact that some of the most beaten down shares are starting to do better. But then, of course, we have the leading shares like the semiconductors. Among those that are among the most beaten down is the commodities sector, but the continuous commodity index has broken its downtrend. It is sustaining this move above 400. That was the minimum requirement to begin to demonstrate we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And the FTSE 350 mining index has been ranging mostly below the 20,000 area for really the last 7 years. It is now coming back up towards the region of the trend mean. If we continue to see the commodity prices doing better, then that should be supportive. But when we look at the performance of the London Metals Index, well, it's lagging. It hasn't quite been able to push up and out of this little range just yet. Then when we look at the oil price, well, it was in negative territory in here today. There is plenty of supply around. And the fact that Brazil's auction of offshore sites failed, that's also an indication that the very deep water offshore Brazilian oil, which was looking so promising a decade ago, is now being increasingly priced out of the market because Brent crude is at $60 and the break even for a lot of that offshore is north of $80. The break even for US domestic shale is around the $55 to $60 area. And of course, that is West Texas Intermediate pricing rather than Brent pricing. What we have definitely seen in here today was that the oil price has paused. And when we think about the performance of the energy shares, well, the Spider Energy Index pulled back rather dynamically from the region of the trend mean to sustain its downtrend in here today. So what it suggests is energy investors are still in need of, I think, some additional evidence to support the view that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. What's I think also rather interesting is the agricultural sector, because the continuous commodity index is equal weighted. And if the metals have not yet broken out, and the oil price is touch and go, well, then something has to be going up to drive that equal weighted index up to new high ground. Well, Mosaic was off its peak in here today, and or yesterday, and pulled back in here today. But we're talking about a share that has pulled back a great deal over the course of the last few years. And they're going to be, I think they just reported earnings. So when we think about what are, it was 2 days ago, and that's why we're starting to see the pullback. But when we look at some of these commodities, well, soybeans, for example, has been rather range bound and was weaker in here today. Now there is the scope that we're going to see some better action coming out of the agricultural sector in the event that there is a phase one deal between the USA and China signed. Corn has not been able to sustain the move above 400 and is pulling back again. Wheat prices have also been rather range bound over the course of the last while, but they're at least stabilizing. The outlook for Arabica coffee is very closely tied to the outlook for the Brazilian real, and it is now steadying from the dollar area. Now, this does look like a pattern of support building. We've had the failed downside break below a dollar. We're pushing back up now. It's above the trend mean. It hasn't quite broken the sequence of lower rally highs, but the one, I think, important point is that the dollar area has been an important area of support for coffee over the course of the last 15 years. There have been occasions when it pulled back significantly more than that. But by and large, if we look at the long history of coffee trading, there has been ample evidence of support coming through around a dollar and in extremis around the 50-cent area. And it is looking increasingly likely we're going to see some better news out of this market. The cotton price also has been steadying, but it needs to push back above the trend mean. One of the most impressive moves we've seen in any of the agricultural commodities recently has been in palm oil, and that has been a really quite impressive rebound we've seen over the last 4 weeks. But I think it also helps to demonstrate just what kind of moves we can get in the commodities when they do start to turn. And the fact that the continuous commodity index has broken its downtrend, that suggests that the surprises are likely to be on the upside in the commodity complex. And I think the most likely scenario for that is going to be in the agriculturals. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.